The city of El Paso recently adopted a public art master plan that will set the pace for public art in our city through 2024. Today, we're talking to Pat Dolvin and Ben Fife from Museums and Cultural Affairs to learn more about the vision for our city. And if you're an artist, you can learn about getting involved. Hi, Pat and Ben. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so glad you are here. So full disclosure, I'm part of the Public Art Committee, just so everybody out there knows it.
So you can actually do this without us.
Well, no, I prefer to have you all here. So public art has an impact on a city's visual character and cultural life of the city. And this is our second comprehensive public art plan for the city. Can you tell us how far we've come since adopting our initial plan?
Well, the public art ordinance was adopted in 2002, and that was to encourage the integration of art into architecture of city facilities by providing 2% of total funding for capital improvement projects. And since then, there's been a lot of capital improvement funding that the city has issued, and then now we have the quality of life bond issuance that has passed. So since its inception, there has been a lot of growth in the public art field.
You know, and I think Pat's being very modest. I think the program has just grown by leaps and bounds. And from that enacting ordinance in 2002, you know, there really wasn't much going on until about 2006, when the program was actually starting to be staffed. Projects started to roll out. I have to give Patricia a lot of kudos for really standing her ground and really fighting very strongly to make sure that projects were commissioned by us, that they had a community voice involved in them, that we were working with artists. A lot of programs, when they're starting out, they tend to just sort of buy off-the-shelf stuff to sort of get something splashy out there really quick. And I think Pat really believed in letting the program percolate and ideas develop. And now we have this incredible collection, I think, to her tenacity and her pushing that forward. And I think this new plan, the difference really is that there's this huge infusion of resources. You know, when this community chose to invest in itself with those quality of life bonds, you're going to see a lot of projects, and a lot of that 2% is going to be about helping to articulate why we're moving forward with those projects. So I think it's a really exciting time.
Well, you know, when we first started, people really didn't understand what they were going to be getting. And when the first projects did come along, you know, you've got some, you know, 50% like it, 50% don't like it. And we've been working and building up on our public art program. And now it's like anytime a project starts, it's where's the public art? Am I going to get public art? And so that's the first thing everybody wants to know is, I want my public art.
That's absolutely true.
Really exciting how it changed from, you know, not...
From what is this?
What is
to
this?
Give
to
us
where,
some more.
Where is mine?
Absolutely.
It's really neat to see. You're right. I mean, you do. You go from, you see one project come up and you see that Ocotillo on the far east side, and it does. It makes you want more.
And everybody has their favorite, which I like to hear.
Or also their favorite, or their favorite to hate.
Yeah.
Well, that is the beauty of public art, right? You can't love them all. This particular plan, what goes into developing a comprehensive plan for the city? Because I mean, we're really looking at the next 10 years.
Right. And we did have a public art master plan that was already in place that already had fallen behind in what it was supposed to do because they had not hired somebody to run the program. So we kind of had to pick up halfway through that plan, and a lot of the projects were already completed. So we did the best we could with what we had, and 10 years had passed. So, and now we had the quality of life bond money, so it was time to get another public art master plan on board. And so this, since we have the quality of life bond issuance, we're looking at 10 to 15 years down the road. So what we did is that we hired a consultant to help us develop the 10-15-year public art plan. And so we had been working on it for, I'd say, almost 2 years. So it took a lot of investigating. They got to know our city, a lot of public meetings, meeting with council.
I think even online surveys of people. Not everybody enjoys a public meeting. Actually, I don't think anyone enjoys a public meeting. So there were online surveys so that we were really able to glean as much feedback as we possibly could from the community to learn what they liked about the program, what they wanted to see us do, how they really felt art could play a role in helping us to help define what makes our city so special and so unique.
And you see a lot of hustle and bustle now, and you say around the quality of life projects. I see a lot of action there along Santa Fe Street at that new pedestrian walkway. I know there's several projects going on in there. Can you tell us about those?
And the pedestrian pathway, well, what we're trying to do is that we would have a lot of tourists or people visiting our city and staying in our hotels and didn't really realize that there was an entertainment district and restaurants back in the depot area. They'd run into somebody that would tell them, oh, you know, if you go down here and go turn over here and turn, well, they just didn't feel comfortable.
There's this going really dark street with no people on it and really so narrow sidewalks, and you're going to go on that.
Right. Yeah. And so there was this pathway that was behind the convention center that was just a quick shot down there, and thought, mm-hmm. God, that's a no-brainer. This would be a great shortcut. We could put a gateway. I mean, it could be programmed, and, you know, people coming at late at night, coming in back and forth, it was perfect. So, Ben, you can tell them about the grant that you...
Yeah, actually, I mean, the NEA actually helped fund community meetings for us to sort of vision out what that pathway could be. And I think one of the really unique opportunities and challenges there is that art is really at the core of how we solve a lot of the challenges of that space. Yes, it cuts down the walk, you know, from 20 minutes to 5 minutes, but it's also not particularly attractive as it was. And at the very end of it, no matter how beautiful you make the pathway, you're still going to ask people to walk underneath an underpass, which during the day is not so great. During the evening is really not great. And I think this is one of the great ways that public art program is able to engage artists with challenges like these and say, what's the solution? And I think Pat did a really great job working with two artists on this project. We have local artists working on the underpass, and then we have a monumental piece that'll serve as a sort of beacon for the pathway. And I think one of the other challenges here, which is a great one to have, is that while this pathway was being laid out, council voted on the ballpark. And so we knew whatever pieces went in, we really wanted them to be able to help define that space and also be able to stand up next to this really beautiful ballpark and hold their own. And I think the pieces that are coming through really are going to do that.
And two things about that. I think it's one of the few times that you see a parking lot taken away for art. Usually
yeah.
It's the other way around.
Right.
And then the ballpark itself, there's a ton of public art in there.
Right.
That was an exciting project.
Fast.
And it was a fast project, but it's wonderful that we had a public art program. We got 2% for that project, and we were able to spend all that money in nothing but art for that.
Yeah, the clock
for the baseball
tower,
stadium.
The murals inside.
And what's really exciting about that project is that you don't have to be inside the baseball stadium mm-hmm. to see the artwork. You could see it from the outside as well, from the inside. So it's for the people.
Yeah, I think, you know, with public art, you know, at its core, it's about art that lives in the community. And so, you know, for people who are never going to go into a museum or a gallery or, you know, that's not necessarily their thing, they're going to encounter it, you know, and oftentimes they're going to have thoughts about it. Hopefully they like it. If they don't like it, we want to hear why. We want them to articulate that. But I think at the end of the day, it's really about making our landscape more interesting and unique and helping people to understand that El Paso is a really special place. And we've got, you know, it's great to have our local artists respond to that. It's great to have visiting artists come in and also respond to what makes us so special and articulate that.
Now, speaking of artists, they are at the core of this program, and it's time to do another call for artists
right.
for the public art program. Can you tell us more about how an artist can get involved and possibly...
Well, at this time, we have a request for our pre-qualified artist pool. It ends January 30th at 5 o'clock. And what we're looking for is artists that are interested in jumping, taking that leap into the public art program, as well as established artists. We're looking for artists that are local, regional, and national. So if they get on CAFE or get on our website, they'll be able to apply. And what we're looking is that if they'll submit their resume, their letter of interest, and 6 images of their past works.
I think it's important to let them know that the images are a really important part of that application.
Yes, because we do have a selection committee that reviews, and they give a lot of weight on what on your qualifications.
Now, when you talk about that pre-artist qualified pool, can you explain or elaborate a little bit more?
Sure. It's a way, I think, for Patricia and her team to really be able to move quickly. There's so many projects that are being greenlit because of this huge bond, and they're moving very fast. And the last thing Pat ever wants to do, and she always articulates this, is that she does not want the art to hold up the project. And so that pre-qualified pool really gives her a roster of artists that she can sort of quickly go to be able to determine, okay, we've got this type of facility going. We need this kind of art piece, or we're thinking about integrating in this area. Who are the people that might be a good fit for that based on what they've done before? So I think that at the end of the day, it's just about making their process much more streamlined, allowing them to move very fast.
Yeah, and if you apply, you're in the pool for 4 years, so you don't have to reapply. But I'm going to tell you that I have a lot of people from the private sector that are looking for public artists. I have UTEP, Texas Department of Transportation, and also developers that are always calling me. And so I share that list with them so they can look through that.
It's a great opportunity. And the other great thing is that we, this spring, will be partnering with UMass Amherst on some workshops funded by the National Endowment for the Arts to help local artists who feel like they might not necessarily understand how to make that leap, or who might not have necessarily been as competitive as they could have been in the past, to be able to, you know, really work on their chops. And so we're excited about that.
What's the website so that artists can find you?
www.elpasoartsandculture.org.
Okay, artists, that's your chance. We've been talking to Pat Dalbin and Ben Fife from Museums and Cultural Affairs about our Public Art Master Program and how artists can become a part of our pre-qualified artist pool. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.